Ephesians chapter 1. We left off at verse 3 yesterday, or last lesson, if you will. But think about this for a minute. When you think about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, when it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now that "hath," is that a done deal? It is, isn't it? As a present tense that he's already given us all spiritual blessings. But we got to remember, whether you're 80 years old or one day equals all the riches in Christ Jesus that we have in those spiritual blessings. What I'm trying to say is, if you've been in this grace message for all your life, you know your spiritual blessings are there. If you just came into this message today that you understood Christ died for your sin, your blessings are there. You have blessings and inheritance in Christ Jesus. But when you know the knowledge and you come to some understanding with that, each individual is different. Your level of understanding of where we're at in Christ Jesus is different. That's why I believe when you start a church and you understand some things about Paul's epistles, Book of Romans is not the first book that he had written. But it is laid out in the book of canon. It talks about justification, sanctification, glorification, all that. That's how you get established. And then you find out about reproof and correction and all. Then you come to a book of Ephesians. Now you're going to learn a little bit more of advanced truths that God has given you right up front in Christ Jesus. Not to work so much on the earth, but to work in heavenly places. So when you think about those things, those blessings, it is a wonderful thing to know that you have all spiritual blessings, isn't it? Amen. And, you know, sometimes we look at physical blessings. Every day I look for a physical blessing. Lord, just help me with my knees or my back or my stomach or whatever case may be. But I know that my focus is there. And one day I'm going to get a glorified body. And that's my hope, guys. You know, I think about that. If you took that away from me, I'd be most miserable. You know that? Isn't it wonderful to know that today, that you have all blessings in Christ Jesus? Chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, it to himself according to the good pleasure of his will." God had an eternal purpose in who? Christ Jesus, didn't he? To form the body of Christ. And that was before the foundations of the world. According to his good pleasure of his what? His will. Now you take the mystery truth of elections, that's what this we're going to talk about for today, and contrast it with the kingdom program God purposed from the foundations of the world. Now this is before the foundations of the world. And you'll understand some things that what God had for the nation Israel in their election program and what the body of Christ is in the election program. Go with you will to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to turn some pages today. And we're going to look at four elections in the Bible. Four elections in the Bible. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come to his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall he be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a sheep divided his shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall sit the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." So that's that verse we're looking at. There's something prepared from the foundation, and there was something prepared before the foundations of the world. Now, hold your fingers in Matthew, because we're going to come back there. But when we talk about election, we're talking about some things about what does election mean? What would you think it would mean when you think about God's elect, or he elected, chosen, or saved. Okay. okay, or selected. You know, the thing is, he is talking about saved people. God never elects lost people. And it is to service. So when you think about election, it's not that he chose you to be here today and he chose your husband not to. You know what I mean? He didn't do that. You made that choice today. So God, when you think about election, it's election for service. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe things without preferring one before another, doing nothing but partiality. Here's election of angels. You see that? The elect of angels. Would that be the ones that still follow the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places, or the one that followed Satan? The Lord Jesus Christ. These are selected group of angels that's preserved and saved. Now you have election of Israel. I told you to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Get Isaiah 27. Matthew 24, Isaiah 27. Matthew 24:24 reads, "For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch as that if it was possible, they shall deceive the very," well, who? Elect. The elect. If it's possible, they're going to deceive the ones that saved Israel. Okay, not the body of Christ. We're not talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about Israel. Verse 31 says, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of earth, heaven, excuse me, to the other." So those angels are going to take those elect that he's just talked about, the saved Israelites. I told you to go to Isaiah, didn't I? Isaiah 27. And get Zechariah chapter 2. Isaiah 27, verse 12. "And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of" who? Israel. Not the body of Christ, guys. Israel. "And it shall come, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem." That's that elect that Matthew's talking about. Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. "For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire around about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, saith the Lord." That's the same thing that Matthew's talking about. Matthew's going to tell you about where these people are at. You with me? They're servant agents on the earth. That's what they are. And they're all over the earth, and they're going to believe Jesus Christ and going to believe the Lord. And God's going to use them for service. Now, Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, Verse 4 says, "For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my what? Elect. I have even called thee by the name, and I have surnamed thee, though thou hast known not known me." 44:1. Isaiah 44:1. "Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have what? Chosen." 41:8. 41:8. "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." So Israel is the election, the elect that God is going to use on this earth. He didn't choose Esau. He didn't choose Ishmael. He chose Jacob and Israel. He could have chosen anybody in the earth, but he chose from whose seed? Abraham, my friend. So you got to think about that, how God elected that Israel, and not all of Israel, by the way. See, Israel had a lot of problems, didn't they? And we know they didn't follow the true God. They followed the apostated God, and they became apostate and fornicators with other gods. And when the Lord Jesus Christ showed up, they didn't even know what was going on. They serving each other. Now, the election of the body of Christ, go to Ephesians chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Ephesians 1, 2 Timothy 1. Ephesians 1, 2 Timothy 1. Ephesians 1, we just read, verse 4. Is our text verse this morning. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Through 11, "Who hath," or it is again. Hey, by the way, Isaiah talks about "hath covered us," talking about Israel. Isaiah looked ahead and seen the Lord Jesus Christ coming and to cover Israel, their sin debts and stuff. See, that "hath" is a done deal, guys. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Now, what gospel would that be? Gospel of grace of God, gospel of Christ, gospel of God. "Wherefore, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the" what? "Gentiles." So we have somebody, go be turning to Titus chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 3, sorry. We have an apostle today that is sharing some things with us that is very, very important about who we are in Christ Jesus, part of the body, and what our service is. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. "In the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering." Now, according to that, you're a servant, agent, and where? Where are we seated at? So God's got elect group of people that's going to serve the earth. He's also got a elect group of people that's going to serve the heavenly places. You know, right now, you're living right now. You can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait till you're taken out of here or that type of thing. You know that. But individually, salvation is based on that response to faith in what God says. And God's sovereign will is to save those that believe. You believe that? He's not going to save those that don't believe. I'm sorry. That's not his plan. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 says, 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now the wisdom of the world is not going to believe this stuff, guys. And we've had loved ones that heard this message, was saved, and go out to that wisdom of the world and get educated to their wisdom, and they done forgot about who they are in Christ Jesus. Wiped them clean. But as you remind them and give them the word, if that word took root, it's going to make a difference in their life. And they're going to start remembering, like, whoa, that's who I really am. That's who I want to be. This life that I'm living out here don't mean nothing. Been there, done that. Got a t-shirt. Then you have the election of Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah. Get Matthew chapter 12 and Isaiah chapter 42. Matthew chapter 12. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42:1 says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." You know who he's talking about there? Jesus Christ, isn't he? Okay. Isaiah 45. And Matthew chapter 12, verse 18 says, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." Now where did you just hear that from? Isaiah. Now who's he talking about?
Jesus Christ.
And we just went through the book of Matthew, and who's Matthew portray Jesus Christ as?
King.
His elect. And he's going to judge the Gentiles. He's going to judge the world. Isaiah 45:25. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall what? Glory. So when you think about the Lord, and is only individually, he's the only one ever born with a destination already predestinated. Jesus Christ is. Now you may have, when you saw your child born, you may have predestinated him to be the next president of the United States, or a truck driver, or a song leader, or something, or insurance salesman. But how's that turning out? Not too good. So we can predestinate our, you know, kids and stuff like that, but it don't necessarily mean it's going to happen, does it, guys? And sometimes when they think, oh, I want to please my mom and dad, and they go out here and try it, most miserable their life is. But Jesus Christ is the only one ever born to be predestinated. And when we trust Christ, when we take partakers of the election of the members of the body of Christ, we become a part of him, a part of his glory. And we share that in all those blessings. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 says, hath chosen us in him. It don't say to be in him, does it?
No.
He's chosen us to be in him, and the elect are only found in Christ, be it Israel, Isaiah 45:25, or the body of Christ. You're only elected in him. You're only placed in him, Israel and the body of Christ, whether it's serving the heavenly places or the earthly places. When you get to place into Christ, we share his election. And he was elected to serve. He was elected to have a ministry, was he not? Was he not predestinated from the foundation? Was he not predestinated before the foundation over here in the grace program? So what God has determined to do in Christ, he places us in that. That's a lot bigger thought program than you and I could ever think of. To place one person on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything's in him and for him to serve the Father. That's a big thing. You know, it's hard enough being a dad and a mom, isn't it, sometimes when you had kids. It's hard enough to be a truck driver, if I can say that, going out here on this road and people looking at after you, and you got responsibility to take that load from A to B safely and secure. You know, that's big responsibilities. Let me share this with you. When you get involved with this grace message, it's a responsibility. And I think many of you know that by now. It's more responsibility to understand the message of grace and understand who you are in Christ Jesus and how he's working today and standing for truth and standing for the Word of God, right and divided, than it ever was when you was lost or saved in another denomination. Because you sit back there, if you're like me, you sit back there on that back row and you was there for a number. You sit on a cold pew just to be a warm body, raising your hand when you said raise your hand or say hallelujah when it said hallelujah, you know. And when it passed the plate, you dug your 3 or 4 pennies and throwed it in there, you know, that type of thing, hoping that Dan wouldn't see me. you know, that type of thing. You know what I'm saying? That's a religious system that's distorted the grace of God. And when you stand up here and you stand for truth, you got a responsibility that's as far reaches just this room. And when you understand the message of grace and you go out here and you work and you go out here and you talk to people, that is always on my mind. And it should be on your mind too, about that guy's soul and what he's trusting. But look at Romans 16. Romans 16. Now, Paul, was Paul a member of the body of Christ or minister of the kingdom program? Well, we know him to be the apostle, right? But look at this. He had some friends. I'm going to throw this question at you. He had some friends in Romans 16. And he's going down and he's talking about commending his Phoebe, her sister. And there's 5 churches there, or at least 3 assemblies there in that context of chapter 16. But he says in verse 7, salute Andronicus and Juno, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. You ever thought about that? Now here's Paul, the apostle of the body of Christ. Paul says, in me first. Paul says, I'm the first as a pattern. So if he's the first, he's the first one in the body of Christ. But how could somebody be in Christ before Paul?
Because they were saved in Israel's fruit.
Would y'all agree with that?
His kinsmen.
Little flock, okay. So that's right. These people was in Christ because of that kingdom program. Mm-hmm. Okay? Jesus Christ, when John the Baptist was out there in Jerusalem and he calling out and people came and identified themselves with John by being baptized as him, that started a kingdom church. And in that kingdom church, the Lord Jesus Christ chose those apostles, didn't he? And as we know, he died and buried and rose again and he came back. And that's when they got the understanding of more what this kingdom church was about, the Holy Spirit. And that's who was in Christ before Paul. It's just easy when you rightly divide the word of truth. Amen?
Amen.
So the mechanicals, how do you get into those positional truths, whether it's in the body of Christ today or whether it's in the kingdom program? It's through baptism, if I can say that. You identified yourself in that program by doing what they told you to do. Now, in the body of Christ, we have a positional truth. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and get Ephesians chapter 5. When you think about those positional truths and how are we mechanically put into a body when you're sitting right here and not in the heavenly place? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a very unique little verse, if you believe it. It says, verse 12 says, For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into what?
One body.
One body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That what we should be holy and without blame and before Him in love, that's Christ Jesus. We mechanically we put into Him by that spiritual baptism. And this is the ultimate destination of the body of Christ to carry out what God Almighty's eternal purpose is in the heavenly program when we get back to over Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. But so what I'm thinking is this, is the fact that we are in Christ Jesus. He came and died, and He cleansed us to present us holy and blameable in Christ in love. I might have botched that up a little bit, but the thing is, your mechanicals to get into Jesus Christ is through spiritual baptism. Okay, and we're found chapter 1, Ephesians 1, getting back to the main verse there, and that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's the destination, and the body of Christ should be carrying out. That's why I want to tie into there. And He presents us before a holy God in love. What is Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 say. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the what? Men's hands, baptism pools, by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, and any such thing, but that it should be holy and without what? Blemish. That's what God is presenting us right now through the church. You may not feel that way. I know I don't. But God, in Christ Jesus, you're there. Isn't that wonderful to know? In the Bible, the Lord Jesus is the Son of David, isn't He? We saw this in Matthew, preaching the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew through John. He is the son of Abraham. He's preaching the gospel of the circumcision, first to Israel and then the other nations through Israel. That's the Acts period. Then He got His Son of Man, preaching the gospel of the uncircumcision, reconciliation through Paul's message in Romans through Galatians. Then the Son of God, preaching the eternal purpose of God in Ephesians, that's where we're at, Philippians and Colossians, with God intent to recognize in His Son, to populate the universe with a perfect creation that will honor Him and give Him glory. That's the deal here, guys. We become a part of that body of Christ, and we understand the Word of God rightly divided, and we start to understand some wisdom now, don't we? We start to understand some knowledge and understanding. So when He takes us up there, we don't walk around like, what do I do? What do I do? We don't do that. You can know what to do right now. Ephesians 1, 5. Ephesians 1, chapter 5, 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us until the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasures of His will. Predestination, once again, means to be marked out beforehand for a purpose. And it's always dealing with saved people. You know what I'm saying? God did not predestinate my wife to go to hell and me go to heaven. There's people out there says that. You know that. But that's not the truth. If she chooses, she makes that choice to believe in Christ Jesus. But God never sends anybody to hell. That's right. You make that choice. If you reject the gospel, if you reject who God is and through the gospel of Christ, and you reject that, that's between you and God, and you just sign your death sentence. Adoption means predestinated us until the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Adoption means that he brought us into a place of special relationship. Many of us have adoptions, brothers and sisters. Many of us have adoptions, children. We had grandchildren and stuff. We have adoption. And you take them and you treat them no different, do you? You don't. Well, you might, but you shouldn't. I mean, they have that same preference in your life and should be in your inheritance to the next person, your own children. Galatians chapter 4, look at this real quick. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed to the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through who? Christ. Receiving the full benefits as an adopted son. That's wonderful, guys. Father, once again, we thank you for the things you've given us freely. And as we think about just who we are and having the blessings and predestinated in your Son. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.